5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi, everybody. I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Workin' Sports Podcast. Last week on our private Facebook group, I asked everyone to post a GIF that exemplifies the status of their current sports job search. 43 people responded, which all in all isn't that great considering we have 1,000 members in the group. But nonetheless, 43 people responded, and they were pretty darn hilarious. At the same time, they were also kind of depressing. 81% of the respondents had negative themes to their current job search. The cat running up a slide and getting nowhere, kid crying during a TV interview, a Justin Timberlake or two. I mean, I laughed a lot, but it was sad, man. I want better things for all of you, and that's why I do this damn show. I'm not here for the sponsors, because there aren't any. Unemployment is really low thanks to Obama, and we have over 10,000 sports jobs available on our site right now. So what's going wrong? Where is the disconnect between your skills and their openings? Before we get into today's question, which is related to the subject, you'll see, I want you to go through a little checklist. Ask yourself, am I being too specific? Sometimes you need to broaden your search and change what you are willing to accept as an entry-level position, just to get things started, just to break in and get your foot in there. I hate that saying, get your foot in the door, but it's kind of true. Like, you have to maybe broaden a little bit and say, all right, I'm willing to do some things a little bit out of my comfort range in order to just get started in with an organization. Number two, am I being too rigid on location? I've said it many times before, you often need to relocate for sports careers. Go where the opportunities are, take some chances. Sports is not a passive industry. You cannot wait for something to come to your door. Also, make this clear in your cover letter. Finish off by saying something like, while I am not currently local to the Pittsburgh area, I am willing and anxious to relocate for an opportunity like yours. I mean, phrase it better. But let it be known, relocating is not an issue for you. You want to get through any objections that they might have, and they might look at you and say, well, they're not here, so that makes it more difficult. Make it clear, you can relocate. Another thing you should be asking yourself, are you lacking primary skills? You need the tangibles. What do you have that employers need? If you can't answer that question, you have work to do. Have you done a personal audit? That's another question you should ask yourself. Check yourself and your skill set against job descriptions that interest you. Where are the gaps? What do you need to fill in? Are you networking? If you aren't connecting with all the guests on this show, if you're not active on LinkedIn, sharing, commenting, liking, if you aren't going to your career center at school and finding out about alumni in your area of expertise, you're not working hard enough at getting a job. It's work. Put in the time. All right, those are just a couple checklist questions you should be asking yourself, but let's get into today's question. This one comes from Morgan in South Bend, Indiana. I have known Morgans who are men and Morgans who are women, so I will not specify gender and I will not judge. Morgan asks, or first off, she said, or he or she says, I've been binge listening to your podcast and I have to say I love it. I can't believe how much advice you give that motivates and inspires me to take action. Thank you, Morgan. He or she continues, you've talked a lot about interview techniques, including video interviews, but I have a phone interview next week and I'm very nervous about that. Do you have any tips? From the best I can tell, you have not done a podcast on this subject yet. And you know what? I don't think I have, which surprises me because I thought I would have covered that by now, but let's do that now. Let's solve that problem. I'll tell you this. I hate phone interviews. They always feel off rhythm to me. I know personally, I feed off of body language and reading the room. And without that, I feel like I'm trying to play basketball with both my hands tied behind my back, which means I dribble with my face, which is awkward. That said, phone interviews are a reality of our world and the most common pre-screening used before bringing someone in for an in-person interview. So we all must deal. Now, I will tell you, from doing this podcast and essentially doing interviews once a week with some expert in the field over the phone, I've learned a lot. I've picked up on some things that I was doing poor before. I've learned some techniques that have really helped me, and I want to share those with you now. It still doesn't mean it's easy. It's not for me. I have some interviews that I feel go very smoothly and others that go really poorly. But in the end, we come up with a good product, and I think that's a good indication that I've picked up on some tips that I can share. All right, so here are a few tips to smooth out the phone conversation. We're going to deal with a couple easy logistical issues first that happen kind of in the pre-interview phase. Because remember, someone has to call you first to set up the interview. So there's going to be a communication first before the big, formal interview. Number one, check your voicemail outgoing message. Okay, you probably did not think this was going to have anything to do with your voicemail message when we started to talk about phone interviews. Here's the reason I bring that up. I did my outgoing voicemail message like 5 or 10 years ago and never even thought of it again. I never call myself. I have no idea what it sounds like. I don't even know what I say. But I called myself one day because I lost my phone and I was waiting as it was ringing, and then my message picked up, and you know what? It was awful. I sounded depressed or like I had a really bad headache. That is not a good first impression. When you are applying for jobs and sending your information out there and giving contact information, your first impression sometimes happens when you're not there. You know, they go to your social media profile, they go to your LinkedIn account, they call your phone, they hear your voice message. You need to think of all those initial touch points and make them perfect. So change your social media profiles, that we've talked about for every interview, but specific to phone interviews, make sure your outgoing message sounds like you want it to. Now, that's not saying you need to put sunshine and rainbows and unicorns in it, but you need to sound professional, or you need to sound like you have a smile in your voice a little bit, rather than being like, hello, VH Brian Clapp, leave a message, I'll be back in touch, which is kind of what mine sounded like, which is not cool. Good impression. That's how it starts. Number two, I suggest you keep a spreadsheet very handy of all the jobs you have applied for. Name of the company, job title, location, area code, and any research notes. Why? Because people call, and by people I mean recruiters or hiring managers, they call without warning. And you want to have something to spark your memory as to what this role or position may be. If you have applied for 10 jobs you think you're a good match for, and one of them calls and you're like, oh, what was this one again? What was that job title? What did I need? What was the focus? You want to have a cheat sheet nearby so you can be smart in any conversation and quick on your feet. Now, why do you write down area code? Because if you get a call from a number you don't recognize, a lot of times you're going to be like, I don't know that number, I'm not picking it up. But what if you look at it and says, you look at your sheet and you say, oh, this could be the San Diego Padres. Better answer this one, right? Helps out. Number three, again, logistical stuff. If you are not in position to answer an important call, let's say you're in line at Starbucks or in the bathroom at Kohl's, don't answer. Let it go to voicemail and be ready to call them back when you are in a better place or state of mind. Just because you're anxious to get the job doesn't mean you want to pick up when you're not ready. They're going to go to your voicemail. You've already fixed your voicemail message. So they're going to leave a message and say, call me back. So call them back when you're ready. Okay. Don't answer in a frantic or bad position. Remember, impressions matter. Okay, so now let's talk about the actual interview. You've scheduled it. You know it's coming. You've prepared. Okay, just like you would for any other interview, you've prepared. Now for a phone interview, though, you have to get yourself in a quiet room. If you only have a dorm room, well, you know, book a small conference room at the library or ask a friend if you can use their room. It must be quiet so you can focus, no distractions, no background noise either. If you're old like me, no kids around, no dogs, you must have quiet. Nothing sounds worse than a dog barking or a kid crying in the background. The interviewee will be nice and say, oh, it's not a problem, I totally get it. But in their mind, they're thinking, this sucks. Also, remember to turn off call waiting. Nothing worse than getting a beep from mom during the interview. Not cool. Number two, find a rhythm. Here's what that means. When the other person is talking, we all have this tendency to throw out, quote, I'm listening cues, right? These little things that you do, little verbal sounds to let the other person know you're focused on them. A little, oh yeah, uh-huh, or yep. All that stuff works when you are face to face with somebody, but on the phone, it's not good. It makes a disconnect moment because there's always a bit of a delay, or it mutes their speaker, or it's just a little bit awkward. it's best if you are 100% quiet. I've learned this more and more on the podcast when I'm doing interviews. When I say anything while the other person is speaking, it interrupts the rhythm of the conversation because they stop to hear what I am saying, and it puts an unnecessary strain on the flow. Be quiet when the interviewer is talking. Wait until they are 100% done and then go. If you have to take a note here and there while they're asking a question, go for it. Write it down a word or two to spark a point you wanted to make. But don't talk until they are definitely done. Number three, I've heard people say, dress like you are going for an interview in person because this gives you extra focus. I think this is baloney. I say dress comfortably. I'm wearing a t-shirt and jeans during just about all of my podcast interviews, and that's how I feel comfortable, and that's how I feel at my best. Why would you want to be anything other than comfortable? Now, if you're one of those types that wears a suit and feels comfortable in it, then maybe that is what you want to do. But I say the overarching goal here is for you to be comfortable being your best self. You're on the phone. They can't see you. I don't know why it helps to put on a suit. I mean, I just don't get that. I'm very uncomfortable in a suit. I don't look good in a suit either. I think I look good in other clothes, but I don't look good in a suit. It just looks like, I don't know, weird. Doesn't fit right, something. I don't know. Maybe that's my tailor. I don't have a tailor, so I guess I'm making that up. But again, a personal choice. Wear what's going to make you feel most comfortable. I just don't get the whole dress-up thing. Doesn't make sense to me. Number four, surround yourself with your tools. Resume, follow-up questions you have, data and research about their organization. Write down a list of what you consider your strengths, a few weaknesses, or areas of improvements. And then all of your tangible skills. You don't want to forget what makes you great. No one else is jumping on the line and saying, oh, I'd just like to mention Morgan also knows Photoshop. That is not going to happen. You are on your own. So write down your notes, write down these lists, write down your follow-up questions. In the face-to-face interview, you can't bring that stuff with you. In a phone interview, you sure as hell can, so do it. Take advantage of the environment. The environment here is that you're secret. Nobody can see you. So have your notes, have your cheat sheets, have that all there. Number five, and finally, you have to end strong. Have follow-up questions ready. Make them smart. We discussed this in an earlier podcast episode, so go back and listen to that episode if you're unsure how to craft your follow-up questions. Thank the interviewer and don't be afraid to say, I'd love an opportunity to meet face to face and continue this discussion in the future. That's letting them know I'm serious, I'm qualified, and I'm interested. That's what the impression you want to leave is. I hope that helps, Morgan. On Wednesday, we have Brian Killingsworth, the chief marketing officer of the Vegas Golden Knights. This was a big get because Vegas has, obviously, the hockey team is the first one to bring sports to Vegas, professional sports to Vegas, and they've destroyed everybody. They are top in merchandise sales and apparel sales in the NHL. Their season tickets have gone through the roof. They've sold out both years before like the puck is even dropped. It's crazy the success they've had, and a lot of it goes to their marketing efforts and campaigns, and Brian Killingsworth is sharing so much of what went into all of their planning and how they hire staff and all that kind of cool stuff. So make sure you tune in on Wednesday. It's a really, really great episode that I enjoyed thoroughly, and I know you will too. So we'll talk to you all then. Morgan, I hope that helped you out, and I will talk to you all soon.